Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Benefiting the first team, Green Valley Ranch. Donate now at denverfan.com/match. Live from Green Valley Ranch Golf Club, here's Nick and Cecil.
Good afternoon, Colorado, of the Rocky Mountain Mile High region. If this doesn't get you fired up on a Thursday, I don't know what will. It's Nick and Cecil here on The Fan, and the great Mark Schlereth has joined us to take a little bit of a break here at Green Valley Ranch Golf Club. Stank, how's it going out there?
It's going well. It's going. We got a nice warm-up nine between Mike and myself and Sandy in Orlando.
Okay.
And we thunderstruck them down, so now we're ready to take on Zach and Stokely for the World Championship.
Well, last year there was a little controversy, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, there's not really. There wasn't really controversy. So here's what happened. We're like four strokes ahead going into 18.
Yeah.
And it, the equivalent is being up 45-7 in a football game and there being 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and the other coach says, hey, let's just make it 0-0 and whoever, you know, wins this last 4 minutes wins. And that's what Stokely wanted to do. Wouldn't show us his scorecard. He just wanted to start over from 18, and whoever won 18 would be the champion, which we won 18 anyhow. So there was never any controversy. Stokely just, you know, I mean, Stokely will win any way possible.
Yeah.
Even if it means cheating.
Yeah. It's like Michael Jordan. You don't want to beat him at anything because then he'll hold a grudge against you forever, right?
Right, right. So we'll see what happens in this back nine. I mean, it's going to be, it'll be interesting. It should be a very tight match, I would anticipate.
So how did you prepare, you and Mike both prepared to come out and compete today?
I did nothing. I have not. I did absolutely. I play four times a year, and I'm a solid ball striker. So I don't. You know, I'm going to hit it and hit it well.
You're going to go out there and dominate. That's what you do, right?
That's what I do. I mean, it's not. You know, it's not rocket science. It's a little ball. You just hit it. There's a lot of green grass out there. Like, there's plenty of room.
Now, did you guys give somewhat of a mulligan for Orlando Franklin? Because last year he was much larger Orlando Franklin.
Right.
So he's reduced now.
He's reduced. He looks like a driver. Like, I could use his leg. I probably could hit a ball 250 with his leg, I would imagine. He is so skinny, man. He's got a pair of shorts that he bought, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Is he going to get clothes that fit?
No, it's like his belt's wrapped around four times. It's not even pleated shorts, and they look like they got 17 pleats in the front because it's so, the material's so gathered up.
So many pleats, it looks like he's wearing a kilt.
Yeah.
But either way, Mark Schlereth joining us here to kick things off with Nick and Cecil. And last night on our program, we had talked to Kenny Mayne, formerly of ESPN. Great guy, as you know, a friend of Stink,
yes,
FOS.
Absolutely.
He told us that it would be foolish for anyone to guess what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. What do you think now as we sit here towards the end of June and the Rodgers debate still continues?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I just look at everything that happens with Aaron Rodgers, and if you really want to make amends, if you really want to heal the relationship, I think that I would go about it a little differently than talking about complicated fella and this, that, and the other. And this really, you know, people think, they assume that it really has everything to do about Jordan Love and that draft pick, and it really doesn't. And it goes back, that's part of it. It was just another kind of log they stacked on top of a bunch of stuff that Aaron Rodgers just did not care for. And the biggest part of the whole Jordan Love thing was not so much that they drafted Jordan Love, but they came out after they drafted and said Aaron was on board. And they had never talked to Aaron about it.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's what pissed him off. Like, it's just a litany of things that they have done that, you know, that he hasn't necessarily cared for. And I don't have any issue. Like, if you don't want to involve your players, your star players, in personnel decisions, that's your right. You don't have to do that. Right? I mean, that's just, but don't tell a guy that we're going to consult with you and involve you and then basically go behind his back and not do it.
Yeah.
And tell
everyone I was on board at the same time.
Right. Yeah. So that's the problem. So again, you know, I don't think he's playing in Green Bay again. I really don't. And, you know, and I've talked to him about it, but, bottom line is we'll see. I mean, things can change. People, you know, people reconcile, and that happens all the time. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Mark, you played this game for both the Denver Broncos and the Washington Redskins. Washington football team, let me be correct when I say that. So if Aaron were to go back to Green Bay, how does he fit back in that locker room and with that fan base based on everything that's taken place thus far?
Yeah, I think he fits great in the locker room. I mean, he's Aaron freaking Rodgers. And with the fan base, you know, they can be upset until he throws that dime piece off balance and across his body all the way across the field. And then everybody goes, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback. We love him.
Oh, so, forget the all, what happened.
Right. Yeah. Forget it all. Yeah, forget everything else. We're totally on board with that. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. Obviously, it has been interesting to this point. It'll continue to be interesting.
Well, Stank, we know you got to run. Get back out there on the course. We just appreciate you stopping by here on Nick and Cecil. And I'll quote Man 101. You're welcome.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks, guys.
There's Mark Schlereth. It is Nick and Cecil out here on Green Valley Ranch Golf Club. Beautiful day, Nick. Great to be out and about and seeing the guys smiling, seeing the guys getting around here on the golf course. And we'll keep you up to date on the situation as it unfolds, as now we have the matchup I think everyone was looking forward to, Schlereth and Evans versus Stokely and Zach.
Well, what I'm watching right now is Mark is now at the cart with Mike, and Zach is trying to butter him up and soften him up and take it easy. I hope that Mark and Mike don't take it that easy on Stokely and Zach, because we know what happened last year. And like Mark said, you know, Stokely's going to try anything.
He'll try it all.
Anything to cheat, changing the scorecard, starting from the very beginning, you know, trying to lower his stroke. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens out there on the course. Again, we'll be out here. We'll be keeping you up to date on the situation. I do have some updates on an Aaron Rodgers news item that doesn't have anything to do with his golf membership.
What does it have to do with?
Well, everyone's on Rodgers watch right now, and will be for the next month or so. We actually need to be watching someone else. Would you care to venture a guess which Green Bay Packer can kind of be the canary in the coal mine for the Aaron Rodgers situation?
Well, the obvious guy is Jordan Love. Is he not the canary in the coal mine?
He's one of them, for sure.
Okay, he's one of
them. Yes, and the narrative has changed now for whatever reason about, hey, Jordan Love all of a sudden looking good, people. Now, why did that happen? When in OTAs, it was like, man alive, Jordan Love's not ready. Now, mandatory minicamp, which Aaron Rodgers skipped, people saying, Jordan Love's looking like the guy. Okay, that's fine. I understand why they're doing that, but news item today, Devontae Adams said he is open to an extension, but he's watching the Rodgers situation. Devontae Adams actually publicly commenting about the Rodgers situation and saying that he's open to extending with the Green Bay Packers, but he's going to be keeping an eye because that will change his decision. So, Nick Ferguson, and I ask you, should DA have publicly said this? Devontae Adams talking about the situation, he says, quote, that'll play into it, but there's been talks, just really talks, but we haven't done anything and talked about anything worth mentioning. It's kind of just beginning stages. We'll figure out what happens. Hopefully something gets figured out, but I'm here to play ball. Either way, the stuff like that will take care of itself eventually. That is close quote from Devontae Adams. That's coming in. I think USA Today had that quote. So Adams is admitting the Rodgers situation will determine whether or not he extends with that team. So if he does that give us a clue that maybe Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay?
Well, it gives us a kind of glimpse into it, because Aaron Rodgers is still his own man, and Devontae Adams is still his own man, and Aaron's going to do what's in the best interest for Aaron. This sounds great for Devontae Adams to say this, to give us some kind of indicators where the direction of what's going to happen. But the idea that at the end of the day that this tells us everything we need to know, no, because if the Packers slide over a contract to Devontae Adams that makes him the highest paid wide receiver, I find it hard to believe that he's going to turn that down waiting for Aaron to make his decision. Now, I know both of those guys have an excellent connection, because when you see any show and, you know, on national television showing Aaron Rodgers highlights, they're all the balls are going to Devontae Adams.
Yeah, every highlight seems to be Devontae Adams.
Yes.
Or some sort of Hail Mary to some random player at the end. But mostly it's D.A. and Aaron.
Right. Just like, here's the way that I like to look at it. And you said this several times, so this is a perfect example. If Peyton Manning were to call you Cecil Lammy right now, Green Valley Ranch, we're broadcasting live.
Right.
And he was to say, hey, Cecil, I need you to be over at UCL training facility in 33 minutes. You're going to shoot me the deuces and you're going to leave. Right?
And so, Raj would take over for
exactly. you. Exactly. So when I look at Devontae, you know, Adam's situation, you put enough money in front of him, he's going to take that contract. It would be ridiculous for him not to. Would it not?
I think it's ridiculous for him to admit that the Rodgers situation will impact whether or not he stays.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because now Green Bay, you know, Green Bay's fickle, right?
Right.
Murphy and Gutekunst, so nobody can pronounce his last name. Like, those guys are fickle. Oh, Devontae, that's how you feel, huh? Well, maybe we're just maybe not scratch that check for you. Right? You never know. You keep things tight.
But
you keep it close to the best.
Wait a minute, Cecil, that's not a smart thing.
I think it's a mistake for Adams to publicly admit he's watching the Rodgers situation.
It would be ridiculous for him not to watch it. This factors into his numbers that he's been able to put up. I'm talking about Pro Bowl numbers. So it's wise for him to actually pay attention to it. And it is wise for the Green Bay Packers to pay attention to, well, we're already on the outs with Aaron Rodgers. We don't want to be on the outs with Devontae Adams, because Adams would be like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to sign an extension. Aaron is gone. I'm going to play out this year. Whomever is the quarterback, Blake Bortles, Jordan Love, Drew Lock, right? Whomever the quarterback is, they're going to help me get whatever stats that I can get. After this year, I'm going to look to whatever team
Aaron
is training. Yes, and then I'm going to go there. So they have to be very careful. And if I'm Matt LaFleur, I want to make sure I get a hold of this situation before it gets out of control.
Any chance the Broncos could do a twofer?
What do you mean a twofer?
Adams wants to go with Rodgers.
Okay.
The Broncos want Rodgers. They could find a spot for Adams, too.
Oh, I mean, that wouldn't be very difficult to do. But now here's the question, though. Who are you giving up? Right? Because you're already getting Aaron.
Yeah.
And you're getting Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
So who are we giving up? With Aaron, it was draft picks and maybe a player.
Right.
Drew Lock.
With now, DA, now one of those wide receivers is gone. Maybe both of them.
Okay, which one? Who?
Cortland or Jerry. Cortland's got 1 year left on his deal, so he would make the most sense.
Okay.
But all I'm saying is, and I agree with you, Devontae should be watching this situation. I disagree about him going public. I think it's like a secret society. Like, everybody knows, you just don't say anything about it. Like, yeah, hey, I'm Aaron Rodgers. Oh, I stay out of other guys' money. But in the back, you're telling your agent, what's Aaron going to do? I'm going to tell you what Aaron's going to do, and then I'm going to make a decision about that. So I think while everyone's watching, Aaron Rodgers and his golf club membership at Green Bay was renewed. Yeah, I don't care about that. The Devontae Adams situation, I think, is more telling as to what we could see happen with Aaron Rodgers.
Can I put my tinfoil hat on for just a second?
Yes, you may.
Okay, who's to say that Aaron and Devontae haven't been communicating this entire time, because we know the receiving corps did not show up for OTAs.
Yeah.
Right? They went for, you know, mandatory.
Even Equanimeous St. Brown skipped OTAs.
That's right. Right. So to me, that was the Aaron Rodgers factor coming into effect.
Oh, yeah.
Who's to say that once again, Aaron and Devontae haven't been talking, communicating on the phone, text message, Instagram, whatever you have, that now Devontae's used this as another opportunity to now speak up on behalf of Aaron to get the Packers to do whatever they need to bring him back.
So you think DA is putting extra pressure on the Packers?
I mean, I can't prove it. That I'm just only speculating, but I can easily see how that can happen. I mean, if teams can use the media to negotiate,
yeah,
put information
out. Which they
do
all the time.
All the time. So who's to say that these two players saying, hey, listen, man, we played great together. You're my Batman to my Robin. I don't want you to leave. I don't want to leave you. You know, it's kind of one of those when Harry met Sally moments, right? Right? You know? So.
And I said Otter.
Yes. So it's one of those types of situations that I can easily see playing out, forcing the Packers' hand. It's bad enough if you lose one guy.
Yeah.
But you don't want to lose two guys, potentially.
I don't think that's conspiracy theory. I think that's
fact.
That's fact.
Okay.
Because if you're Devontae Adams, what can I do to keep my guy here?
Right.
What can I do? Wait a second. You guys want to extend me? Oh, I don't know about that. And by publicly, now this is where you may be making me change my mind. I don't know about that. I got to think about it. But publicly saying that, by publicly stating that, now all of a sudden the pressure is on the team to make it right with Aaron. Because Devontae did that on purpose. So I don't think that's necessarily tinfoil hat. I don't think it's conspiracy theory. I think it might be fact.
Well, I hope that it is.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Listen, I hope that it is because now it puts more pressure on the Green Bay Packers and potentially makes things that much easier for the Denver Broncos to now see that there's fighting in the family and knowing as though they can walk into that situation and say, well, let us help you out. What do you need from us?
Right,
right.
They're the good guys now.
That's right. They're the guys wearing the white hat. They can go in and say, well, we can help you defuse all of this chaos by walking in, taking Aaron Rodgers off of your roster, off your books as well, and just in case if you want to part ways with Devontae Adams, there's a solution there as well. So I normally, you know, I'm an optimistic person, and I don't like the infighting. But in this case, I like it because it could benefit the Denver Broncos.
It benefits the Denver Broncos because it puts more pressure on Green Bay to actually make a decision. That's what we're waiting for, and I've told multiple people, whether it's listeners to our show, whether it's people I see in person, out and about, grocery store, gas station, whatever, you're going to watch Green Bay give Aaron Rodgers a contract offer that makes him the highest paid quarterback in the league. When Aaron Rodgers says no, that's when Green Bay cracks. But here as we sit at the end of June, they're not cracking. They're not moving. Devontae Adams is coming public with his support of Aaron Rodgers in his own negotiations for a contract extension. That, to me, is much more telling than, hey, Aaron's going to play golf in Green Bay, everybody.
I'll say this, Sisu. That is the type or the perfect teammate that you want, right? Someone that's willing.
Not if you're a Broncos fan, you're like, Devontae, hey, don't worry about it.
Well, I know, but the idea is that having a teammate that's willing to talk about you in his negotiations, in order for me to sign back, no matter how much money you toss at me, I want to make sure that he's here. If Aaron Rodgers isn't here, then I don't want to be here. Now you have to wonder, will the floodgates now start to open? Will other players now who are on expiring deals come after the season, will they look to depart as well? And how does it affect the Packers moving forward as far as free agency in 2022?
How does it affect what they want to do? Because without Devontae Adams, if you lose both guys, I mean, really, what you better be getting a lot in return if that's the case, because Jordan Love would be better with Devontae Adams, obviously. Anybody would. But if that guy's unhappy and you're going to lose him and Aaron Rodgers, now that's a big deal for that team. And if you're the Broncos, you keep calling. I don't care if Brian Gutekunst, people can't pronounce his name, I don't care if he's not answering his phone. I want him to stare at his phone and be like, there's that 303 number again. There's that George Payton. I want him to text. I want him to get so mad at George Payton. He said, hey, George, give me a break, dude. Like, we got to offer him this deal. Then we will talk to you. So I want him to kind of have that mindset. If you're George Payton out there at UCL Training Center, keep calling. Let's joined right now. It's Nick and Cecil here on The Fan out here at Green Valley Ranch Golf Club, joined by Kevin Lara, CEO of First Tee Green Valley Ranch. Kevin, good afternoon. And how long has First Tee been here at Green Valley Ranch?
Well, thanks for welcoming me, Big Salami, and Nick, it's good to see you. So the course opened in 2001, and Mr. Hamill, our owner, brought the First Tee in 2005. So we had 53 kids that first year. Now we serve 3,300 a year. So
wow.
It's been very successful because of these beautiful facilities.
Well, tell us, why is it that you guys decided to do what you're doing with First Tee?
The Colorado Opens were moved here in 2004, and like all the other tournaments you see on television every week, those events are raising money for a charity. So Mr. Hamill raised money by having the Colorado Opens here, and then the board decided, let's go after a First Tee chapter. And there was already one here at First Tee Denver, but they added us in 2005 on the second year of the Colorado Opens, which have now been here. This is the 18th year of the CoBank Colorado Opens.
It's Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. Kevin Lawrence, CEO of First Tee, joining us. And It's good to be back out and about. Last year with COVID, how was that to deal with? How are things going this year?
It's a great question. We were really nervous about COVID, as everybody was, but golf was one of the places people could recreate safely outdoors.
Right.
We were only closed for 8 days, and three of those days were snow, so it was wonderful that the city let golf happen, unlike Canada, who just opened golf 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So that was
right.
really terrible. So we were the first e-chapter in the country to go back to programming. We cut our classes back about half size in order for social distancing. We still had almost 100% of our budgeted number for the kid, for the kids that year. And this year we're up 20%. So these kids aren't going back to their other sports as much as we thought they would, or back to their music or other studies. They're still coming and in droves. So we're really excited about this year being 20% ahead of our 2019 number, which is wonderful.
Now, I see, I mean, there's a lot of former Broncos players who are here participating today. Now, I hear that Billy Thompson, former Broncos safety and NFL alumni, have participated. How important it is for you guys to partner with associations like this to help out with what you're doing?
Well, BT is one of our favorites. He was one of the original board members for 10 years, and he brought out the NFL Alumni Association, so Mecklenburg and all those guys would come out, and we'd have a first tee family day with the football players, and they would actually host different hitting stations and ball throwing and all that. So it's wonderful to have athletes here, because, as you know, you can't play football your whole life, but
no,
you certainly can play golf. And it's funny, because some of the guys have never picked up a golf club, and yet some of them have played golf in multiple sports. So at first tee, we promote to the kids that play golf and or basketball and football and soccer, we just say, play multiple sports all the way through high school, because
right.
this and tennis you'll be able to play your whole lifetime, even if you don't specialize in it.
Yeah, it's good to cross-train for other sports
Absolutely.
As well. Kevin Laura, CEO of First Tee, joining us, Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And speaking of the kids, where do the kids come from that you serve? How many, and what gives you the greatest joy about helping these kids?
I think the best thing, I'll answer the first or last question first. What we love to see in First Tee, we're not trying to create the next Tiger Woods or Jennifer Kupcho. We're trying to create the next Nick and Cecil and Raj. We want these kids to be around successful people, learn life skills and core values that they're not picking up at school or sometimes at home. 40% of our kids don't live with either biological mother in this area. So it is amazing how wonderful this program is. And it's adult supervision for those kids. But most of our kids are from the quadrant, if you think of it, from Pena Boulevard, I-70, and west to Montbello. So probably over to Havana, north of I-70. So to serve 3,300 kids up to Commerce City, just in that quadrant, First Tee Denver handles about 10,000 in the rest of the metro area. So we hit 13,000 between the two of us.
Fantastic. Kevin, we certainly appreciate your time. Such a great event out here, such a great place. Thanks to everyone for being out here. Thanks to First Tee and all that you do for the community.
Thank you guys for coming, and I hope you come back next year.
There we go. There's Kevin Laura, ladies and gentlemen, CEO of First Tee. It's Nick and Cecil on The Fan debating the Aaron Rodgers conversation, but why there's one player a Rodgers move would be great for, and it's not the player you think. I'll tell you who that is next.
Michelob Ultra presents the Fan Match Challenge, powered by the CoBank Colorado Open, benefiting the First Tee, Green Valley Ranch. Donate now at denverfan.com/match. Live from Green Valley Ranch Golf Club, here's Nick and Cecil.
Well, we got plenty of news on the Aaron Rodgers situation in terms of watching out for Davante Adams' contract extension talks that are now ongoing. Adams himself admitting he's watching the Rodgers situation. But, Nick, I believe that there's one Denver Bronco that benefits the most from the Rodgers trade if that does go down, and I think it's quarterback Drew Lock. And it doesn't matter to me if Lock is involved in the deal, as in ship to Green Bay, or if Lock stays here to learn from Aaron Rodgers. I think that going to Green Bay in a Shanahan system, which is what he looks best in, would be great for that kid. He could probably play up to his potential. And I also think staying and learning would be good for Drew Lock.
Well, I disagree with you slightly, because I agree going to the Green Bay Packers and being with Matt LaFleur, being in a system that is similar to what you ran under Rick Scangarello, a system that you went 4-1 and you basically excelled and exceeded people's expectations, because when we look at what happened last year, it's nowhere in comparison to the year before. Staying here playing behind Aaron Rodgers, I have no doubt or concern that Drew Lock will definitely learn something, but he's going to learn a lot of it playing behind him, sitting on the bench. So no one's going to know exactly what he is and what he's worth. And at this stage of his career, going into his third year, he wants to play. He wants to play better. And seeing just a glimpse of what he could be with the arm talent excited everyone. So much so, even Colin Cowherd started to rave about him, and then actually watched him play.
He started saying MVP.
Yes, and then watched him play more games, and then quickly did an about face.
Dancing Drew Lock.
Right, dancing Drew Lock. So the idea is helping Drew Lock may be sending him off to somewhere else and playing with guys like Tom Runyon. I mean, you have great running backs that there in Green Bay, and you have arguably one of the better wide receivers in the league with Davante Adams. So that's the best case scenario for Drew Lock. And I know there are people driving around, pulling their cars over on the side of the road, getting out, screaming, yelling at the sky. Well, what is Nick talking about? We love Drew Lock. Hey, listen, if you love him, then do right by him, because being here and what we've seen so far in practice, the competition with Teddy Bridgewater hasn't really looked as though Drew is taking that step in the right direction.
Yeah, he didn't dominate.
No, okay. he didn't dominate. Now coming back to training camp, could there be a different Drew Lock? I'm hoping that it is.
That'd be nice.
But I'm not gambling and betting my house on it.
Isn't that what Vic Fangio says?
Yeah, it would be nice.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, but would you, if I say right now, Sisu, right, make a Martinelli's bet on it. Right? That Drew Lock comes back and
he's
going to
be better.
Yeah,
you don't bet cold pops. You bet Martinelli.
Yeah, of course. It's my beverage of choice, because I know I'm putting myself in a position to win. Right? And so because of that, I'm going to get more Martinellis. So would you put Martinellis or your cold pops on the idea of thinking that Drew Lock, when he comes back in July, I think it's July 27 when the Broncos report or something like that, that he's much better in training camp than what we've seen thus far?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sorry. By the way, what do we do on our show?
We tell the truth.
I'm glad that you waited a half an hour in before you started bringing up relationship advice. Because I thought for sure, like, you were going to tell people, hey, if you love Drew Lock, let him go. You ever heard that?
Yeah, I heard it.
If you love me, let me go?
Yes.
Right. Or if you love her, let her go. Like,
And hopefully she comes back, but then there's another guy, she never comes back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think once you get Aaron Rodgers, Drew Lock's going to want to come back here. But I think that going to Green Bay would be great for him, because Pat Shurmur doesn't fit Drew Lock. Okay, we could put lipstick on a pig all day. We could trot it out there and say, like, this is going to work, and then he's got to beat Teddy and all this sort of things. At the end of the day, you're not helping Drew Lock in the best way that you can. The best way that you could help Drew Lock is if Vic Fangio would have swallowed his pride, actually kept Rich Scangarello, because that's – and it seemed personal. Maybe it wasn't. And Vic Fangio sends Christmas cards every year to the Scangarello family. Maybe that's the case, or maybe not. But either way, I know this. Drew Lock would be better if he wasn't in a Shurmur system. It doesn't fit. The dirty secret in the NFL is it's all about fit. And with Drew Lock, you're trying to get the best out of this guy. That means Shanahan, West Coast, LaFleur concepts, Scangarello concepts, that sort of offense brings the best out of him.
Well, yeah, it does. And once again, the idea is if you are someone who is a Drew Lock supporter, you should want the best thing for him. And knowing as though you can go to Green Bay and, you know, Robert Tonyan is there. You know, you also have Aaron Jones, who is
right.
A magnificent running back. And all you have to do is throw it to him out of the backfield. That's about 10 yards right there. And then you look at Davante Adams and Alan Lazard. Those are guys that now they built their offense around you. It is something that you are quite familiar with. Now
he's got a big body target,
yes.
Lazard, that he can throw it up there, let the big man go get it. He's a bad ball receiver. For people that don't know, maybe you're not a New Mexico State fan.
Right.
But like, you're going to throw it up, let the big man go get it. Same with Marcus Valdes-Scantling, like those type of players, in addition to Davante Adams. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, or I would publicly shame them right here on these airwaves, was saying like, oh, you know, you could send Green Bay Noah Fant. They have Robert Tonyan. And, by the way, you need Noah Fant because nobody behind him is real proven.
Well, I don't think as great as we saw Noah Fant be last season and making some of those receptions for Drew Lock to bail him out, I don't think that is going to be enough for the Green Bay Packers to say, well, you just send us Noah Fant and we're settled with that. No. I mean, you have Robert Tonyan, you have Mercedes Lewis. And Mercedes is kind of an older tight end on the downside of his career. But to me, it's all about fit. You say the kind of, what do you call it?
The dirty secret
in NFL, it's fit. This fits perfectly. Everything is set up for Drew Lock to be successful if he was a member of the Green Bay Packers. You talk about the quick strikes. Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the league as far as beating guys off press coverage,
yeah,
and just kind of spinning them around. And then also you go to an organization that is used to playing in championship and playoff, you know, situations, and it's a great fan base. I mean, if we were to sit here and rank the fan bases as far as, you know, what best from the worst, I mean, the Broncos would be there. Then you have the Green Bay Packers and probably the Pittsburgh Steelers. But now you're walking into a franchise who is thirsty, who is looking for a quarterback to take that next step. Yeah, you know, Jordan Love is there, but you've played in the system. All you have to do is just kind of get yourself, you know, reacquainted with the verbiage.
Yeah.
I mean, the raw concepts are the same, but this would be a perfect situation for one Drew Lock. And once again, if I could speak directly to the Drew Lock supporters, think about this and consider this. It's all about putting this kid in a position to succeed, opposed to one to fail.
And shouldn't that be what you want?
That should.
But are you a Denver Broncos fan or are you a Drew Lock fan? Because if you're a Broncos fan, you want the situation to be better. And if you're a Drew Lock fan that just jumped on board when the Broncos drafted him, I get that. Maybe you're, you know, college football fan. Hell, maybe you're from Kansas City just like him.
Maybe.
I don't know where I've heard that, but I must have heard it at least a couple of times. Hey, Drew Lock's from Kansas City. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hey, everybody.
His dad has a restaurant there, too.
Yeah, and everyone calling him a Sith Lord. Like, the Sith people, they were the bad guys. I don't know, we're the Star Wars fans on the station, right? They were the bad guys, and you might want to turn that thing around and have him be a Jedi, but is that going to be here? Is that going to be somewhere else? That's what remains to be seen with this Drew Lock situation. But I look at it and I say, how do you get the best out of him? I'm disappointed in him as far as what he's done so far. I'm also disappointed that it took 3 years for him to reach out to Peyton Manning. I mean, it's going to be real talk, all right? If you're getting your feelings hurt because you love Drew Lock and go Broncos, like, that's fine. You'll be all right. But I'm going to tell you this. As a rookie, he should have been bugging Peyton Manning. As a second-year player, he should have been bugging Peyton Manning. And what's this going to his house twice in the offseason? Go twice a week. Set up shop. Live in a guest house, whatever you got to do to be better, because now it seems like Drew Lock is taking his job seriously now. Well, what about last year? What about as a rookie when this team kind of just said him, oh, it's a red shirt. They didn't want him to play as a rookie, and then he came in and he looked really good. He looked really good as a rookie. So what happened? Where did that go? Where did that guy go?
Well, that guy was fired. That's what happened to that guy. Yes, what happened. I mean, his mentor and the guy that really kind of put the scheme together to make Drew Lock look, you know, better
Rich
than what
Gangarello
he was.
Rich Gangarello did a great
job.
Yeah,
you know, Rich did that. We really don't know exactly, you know, what went on behind closed doors, but obviously it wasn't the right thing that favored the quarterback. And when Drew Lock was here with Joe Flacco, he was, you know, told, hey, look, you're the kid of the future. So at that particular time, there was no need to kind of seek out the help of one Peyton Manning. It was like, okay, I have Joe Flacco here. I'll learn everything that I need to learn from him, and I'll listen to Rich Gangarello. And then year two came, no Rich Gangarello. You figured, okay, well, that's when he should have reached out to Peyton. But still, at that time, the organization said, well, we're leaning all our chips and putting them on you, so don't worry about it. But it wasn't until he realized that, hey, this thing in the NFL playing quarterback, there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of competition.
Right.
Maybe now I should reach out to Peyton. Now we have to wait and see. Was he just a year too late?
Nick and Cecil here on The Fan, and every offseason we're like Sherlock Holmes. We're looking for clues. We're looking for what's going to happen. How do we predict? How do we look forward to the future with the Denver Broncos? Well, we've dusted for fingerprints, and the decision at quarterback might already have been made. They're just not telling you yet. We'll tell you who it is, why it is, next.
Michelob Ultra presents the Fan Match Challenge, powered by the CoBank Colorado Open, benefiting the First Tee Green Valley Ranch. Donate now at denverfan.com/match. Live from Green Valley Ranch Golf Club, here's Nick and Cecil.
Can I get a teddy? No? Can't do that? You're not going to bounce with me?
I can bounce with you. But I don't know about, can I get a 10D?
I was just trying to say, like, has the decision for the Denver Broncos already been made at quarterback?
Absolutely.
Who is it?
It's the guy who is more efficient, who's going to be the quarterback.
Now, why is that?
Because efficiency is so important in this game of football. And when it comes to Vic Fangio, a guy who has been waiting his entire career, 40-plus years, to get an opportunity to be a head coach, and his first 2 years, he was below 500. So now he's looking at the new NFL. I'm not going to say it's a new NFL. It's the way things have been the entire time. But we've seen some quarterback do some amazing things.
Right.
But the biggest thing is, can you move the ball down the field? How efficient can you be? Can you give my defense an opportunity to go out and make plays? Right? That's what it comes down
to. He wants to win with his defense.
Yes. That's who he is. Let's be totally honest. This is who, you know, Vic Fangio is. He's
right.
A defensive-minded guy, playing head coach. We saw it last year, a couple of, you know, mistakes. I'll just call it that, with timeouts, because he's thinking about the defense. So that tells you the frame of mind that you have at the head coaching position. But if you can have a quarterback that can efficiently move the ball down the field, I didn't say throw 40 yards down the field 10 times a game. Because let's be totally honest, Sisu, that's not happening.
No.
Even Patrick Mahomes isn't doing that. So it's about matriculating the ball down the field in the way that keeps the chains moving and gives the defense an opportunity.
So basically what you're saying is this is Teddy Bridgewater's job, and Drew Lock has to take it.
Of course.
Because people are painting this as 50-50, and it's not.
It's
the team has said 50-50. I don't believe them for 1 second. Now, the spin doctors, well, they'll tell you it's 50-50, and oh, man, Drew Lock going out there, he dominated. Look, this guy going out there throwing 3 touchdowns in the red zone against the second team. But the truth of the matter is, Vic Fangio's on a hot seat. If he doesn't win, he's gone. And in fact, you could say if they start, I don't know, winless in the first month of the season, he doesn't win a game in September again for the third year in a row, he could be gone before the bye week. That's the type of situation this whole staff is on. And that means they're going to lead towards the guy that they can trust. And right now, that seems to be Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, this is a bona fide popularity contest.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is,
yeah.
Right? And
if we're voting for student council, Drew Locke's going to have all the support, right? He's the cool guy. He's the fun guy. I'm going to cancel a class. You're going to have nothing but recess. And,
don't forget this one, Al. I've heard this one throughout grade school.
What's that?
Everyone's promising free lunch. And
free
lunch. And no homework.
No homework.
Never happened.
If you vote for Drew Locke, no homework, nothing but recess. That's why he's so popular.
Well, yeah, the only popularity that Vic Fangio wants is the fact that his name is being mentioned as comeback coach of the year. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Right? He wants someone to help his team get into that conversation. And the Broncos, if they have 10 wins and they are a playoff-bound team, that's how they're talking about Coach Fangio. He saves his job. Pat Shurmur, a guy who's looking for another head coaching job, he's now in that conversation. Mike Shula, who is a quarterback coach, he now starts to get his name or hear his name mentioned in those conversations at the same time. And George Payton, he gets to pat himself on the back. All these things are based on what happens with the quarterback position, and that's why George Payton decided to go get Teddy, regardless of what people of interest have said. Teddy is a quarterback that is, if you want to call him game manager, fine. I'll take the game manager over the gunslinger, because the gunslinger has a tendency to take too many risks. Too many. So that means now, once again, you're keeping both teams in the game.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, you have the arm to drive the ball down the field, but you also have the arm to give it to the other team and they can take it back for a pick six. I don't want that. I am not as gung-ho against the idea of Teddy looking down the field, not seeing anything, throwing it in the flat. Right? I'm okay with that, because the way that I look at it, from a player standpoint and a guy that coached in this league standpoint, it is checkdowns equal first downs, and first downs equal touchdowns. I'm going to take that all day, every day.
And big passes are low percentage.
Yes.
Down the field passes are among the lowest percentage passes you can throw. So throwing it up there when your timing's off, when your pass placement's off, like, okay, they're splashy. They're going to make SportsCenter.
Of course.
If they hit, but also if they hit the other way, you get that pick six, that's going to make SportsCenter. I don't need that highlight guy. I need that guy that at the end of the year is saying, we're going to the postseason because we got enough W's.
But see, so I had a chance before I came here, went by my good old teammates, Ed McCaffrey, was having, you know, some of a football camp.
Yeah.
And, you know, media people are there, and I'm having a conversation with some of the media people there.
People of interest.
People of interest. And what was said to me was something that you just brought up. See, they don't want the checkdowns. I want the highlights. And I can't get the highlights if the quarterback is not driving the ball down the field 40 yards. But once again, I have to educate. And the idea is that if you look at any football game, and you say, well, how many times is a quarterback throw or will a quarterback throw the ball down the field 40-plus yards? You're probably only going to get that maybe 3-4 if you're lucky, right? So the idea is when we look at explosive plays, that starts at 15 yards. So if you give it to your wide receiver at 15 yards and he has the capability to take it another 30, that's an explosive. We saw it last year in the Chargers game. Drew Lock drops back. There's a three-man rush. The linebackers in the secondary gives Jerry Jr. enough room. He runs a dig route. It turns into a 70-yard explosive play.
Yeah, Beth Moen's losing her voice.
Yes. Judy.
Judy.
Yes. So those are the type of explosive plays that you want, even a great Tom Brady. Drew Brees.
The noodle arm Tom Brady. That's what some people said.
And Peyton Manning. None of these guys have ever had rocket arms, but they've had explosive plays because it's all about the yards after the catch. That's what you want to do.
Well, that's why Jerry Jeudy's meshing so well with Teddy. Jerry Jeudy is a precision receiver. I wrote about it for DenverFan.com. Jerry Jeudy is precise. If you give him the ball in the precise spot and don't put it behind him or too low or too high, get those sautéed ribs. Like, give it to him on the spot, and he's going to make plays for you.
Okay, let's talk about that for just a second. You said, like, we call it the ideal spot? What did you call it?
Ideal spot.
Okay, what is that to the audience? Break that down.
In timing and in rhythm. The problem that we see still today with Drew Lock, and we saw it at mandatory minicamp. You and I witnessed it. And the three touchdowns against the second team in the red zone, we're going to praise those. We're going to talk about them. But we're also going to tell you it was against the second team. Okay? When you talk about, and they didn't do move the ball, but they did 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Pure passing drill set up for the offense. Totally for them to succeed. There were times when Tyree Cleveland could have scored on one of those in-breaking routes that we're talking about, except it was behind him. Tyree Cleveland still got it, but off his back hip.
Yeah.
And then it was a 12-yard gain instead of a 50-yard touchdown. So timing and rhythm within the offense, trusting your eyes, hitting your back foot and throwing, these are all things that Drew Lock does not do. Now, the spin doctors will tell you different. And he's out there and he's slinging it. Look at this. And he's dominating. Like, none of that is true. None of it is true. Now, we're going to praise him for what he does well, but we're also going to tell you the truth because it's not football business, Nick. It is the
business of football
that we're talking about, and that includes a higher level of desire from your quarterback play. I don't want the guy that just completes the pass. I want the guy that puts it on the right spot, puts it on the money, and lets his guys do the work.
This is where I've been a little disappointed with Drew Lock, and I would like to see him improve. And this is where I feel that there's an area that he can improve in because he comes equipped with that rocket arm. Trust your arm, right? Forget about what everyone told you when you were coming up, how great your arm was throwing it between two defenders. Don't do that. Understand that as a quarterback, you're not throwing to a receiver, you're throwing to a spot. So lead him to that spot. That linebacker, when he sees you set up and he sees you look, he's thinking, oh, I might as well stop my pedal, stop my drop, and get ready to drive on the ball.
Because here it comes.
He'll
see the pat. Drew Lock pats it before he throws it.
Yes.
That's a bad habit.
And that's something else that he needs to break, because if I'm watching film on him, I'm saying, okay, he's going to pat it twice before he delivers. So on that second pat, break now. But what he should do is use some of his weaknesses and now as his strength. Watch himself pat it twice, then he let it go. Now, pat, pat a third time, pause, and then rocket the ball in. Throwing to the spot. Look at the defender to get him to move where you want to, because you want the window to clear behind him. And if he makes that throw again, thinking like I'm trying to tell him to do now, Tyree Cleveland catches that ball and he outruns Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson.
Because they don't have the angle.
That's right. But if you throw it on his back hip, now you have to rotate backwards to grab the ball, put your eyes on the ball, and then try to get him forward to avoid the hit. By that time, that could be an incomplete pass, or it could be an intercepted pass. So these are the areas that I feel as Drew Lock can improve, knowing that he has a rocket arm. Throw it out in front of your wide receiver and let him go get it.
That could be where those sautéed ribs come into play. And if you're getting your receivers strung out like that, they're probably not going to be the biggest fans. Notice how the receivers are talking about this quarterback situation. It's another clue as to who is becoming the preferred quarterback for the Denver Broncos. But it's not all about the QB. It kind of is. But the other positions, which groups should we see the biggest growth from? Nick knows. He'll tell you next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.